welcome to Small Spark Theory. This podcast is designed as a collection of thoughts, ideas, and practical tips on using marginal gains to help your agency new business endeavors. Small Spark Theory is created and hosted by me, Lucy Mann of Gunpowder Consulting. Hello and welcome back. How are you doing? We are recording this at the end of May, just before the bank holiday weekend. And so we are still, at this point, still under government restrictions. But I'm hoping that by the time you listen to this, we will be free from all restrictions. And hopefully some of you will be back in the office working together. And gosh, maybe we're even enjoying a bit of summer weather as well. So I hope you're all well and business is good. Now, in the last couple of episodes, you may have noticed that I've been spending some time speaking to some agency people as opposed to some of our brilliant experts and consultants. So in May, in episode 52, we talked to Andrew Southcote about how he was bringing in external expertise and he was sharing some of his advice around bringing in consultants and how it's helped their agency over the past year or so. And then in episode 53, we were speaking to Jennifer all about how she and her team are really thinking about clients' needs and the context all around client relationships and how agencies can really work to better understand that context and have really deeper conversations about how agencies can support those businesses. For this episode, I really wanted to talk to this guest because I'm conscious that over the last year and a half, while we've been going through this really intense time with the pandemic, it's affected agencies in different ways. I mean, it's certainly impacted everybody, but it really has impacted different agencies in different ways, depending on the makeup of their client base, depending on their cash position, but also depending on the discipline, the kind of activity they get involved in. And I think no one has been affected more over the past 18 months than agencies that operate in the events sector. So to talk about that, I'm introducing our guest today, and that is Sarah Yates from Sledge. Hello, Sarah.
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so pleased that you're joining us today. We've got quite a lot to talk about. I know it's been a really interesting time for you over the last 18 months. But I wonder, before we get into all of that, perhaps you could tell us a bit about your career and what led you to your role at Sledge.
Okay, yeah. So my career had a slightly different way, I guess, of coming into events. But I was I went to university in London and I studied law. I don't know whether I necessarily had an aspiration to go into law, but it was certainly something I was interested in. And at the time, I don't think I knew my path necessarily or what I wanted to do. So I thought, from a sensible decision, it would look good on my CV. So that's what I did. And then that led me really into where I am, I guess, today, because university life needs supporting financially, which meant I needed to get a job in some way. But I wanted to do something that gave me a bit more experience and a bit more kind of, I don't know, life experience, I suppose. And that's when I first, trying to support my studies and then moving, that is where I first started my intake into events, really. And that was really in the catering world. And I was on a different side of very much what I am now, but it was not so much about the glamorous side of the event. So I worked on things like Wimbledon and Stella and lots of large parties and gigs and things, which is all very exciting. But what was really interesting about that world was how many people are involved in the process and the different walks of life that they come from, what they do, the different skill sets. And I think from that, and just loving that environment, I just felt that that's kind of what I belonged in. And unfortunately, I kind of finished my law degree, which my parents were very happy about, but didn't decide to go in that world because I think what I wanted was a career in an environment that had real variety all the time and the people. And I think, and that's kind of what I wanted to do and into that experience. So I decided that was the way to go. Law went one side, events came the world. But I also didn't really know what I wanted to do events because I didn't really know enough about it apart from what I'd experienced. So I knew that I needed to gain some insights. So I did lots of different things. I kind of worked for a conference agency. I went back into catering and I kind of worked for different things, sporting events, different kind of events, just to get really that breadth of experience. And then eventually an opportunity came for me in an agency. And that was amazing because as an agency, they do all of that thing, the variety there, the culture's there. And what I really love was that everybody gets really involved. So whether it's a project you're working on or not working on, that real culture of we're all in it together, supporting each other, whether it's ideas or physical support, et cetera, et cetera. And I just love that. So I knew that agency was the kind of route for me to give me everything that I wanted. And then bringing a bit more up to date, but 8 years ago, I moved to Sledge. So I've been there for 8 years because I wanted a bit more of a challenge and I wanted to move really into a more senior role and that decision-making side of things. And I also knew at the time that larger agencies weren't necessarily for me. I wanted to be part of everything. I don't know whether that's a control freak or what that is for me, but I did want to I wanted a bit of everything. So I just didn't want to kind of be pigeonholed into a certain role and just stick to that. I wanted to try a lot of different things and be that. And I think that's what, you know, a smaller agency kind of allows you to do, because you have to do everything because you don't have the resources of everyone and everything. But that's what kind of makes it a bit more exciting. So I started there in an account director role and then moved forward to today. And I'm the managing director of Sledge. So I love that as an opportunity for me, because it really meant that I had that role in cultivating that culture that I wanted to work in and then really driving us towards, so I say, like clients and projects that not just suit the skills and what everyone's good at, but what we really believe in, I guess, and what we get excited about every day.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean about there's something about agencies that just provides that variety. And I think you know, for marketeers, for example, going into a brand, that's quite a big decision to go and work client side in marketing, because you're kind of wedded to that brand and that business, and you've got to completely leave your job and go somewhere else to be able to experience the amount of variety that comes automatically when you're working agency side.
Yeah, and I definitely had those times of, is events what I want? Do yeah, I walk yeah. away? Do I go client side? Do I do all these things? And I've kind of been through all of those activities. But I think when you really look at what you love doing, your personality, who you like being around, I think it was just that agency, the size of it was, it just suits me as a person. And it is that environment as well. And the work you do isn't limited by anything really.
So thinking about kind of winding the clock back a bit to up until the beginning of last year, or the beginning of 2020, up until that point, what was the core agency activity? What were the kind of projects that you would normally be doing?
So we would do certainly corporate events. That was our area. And the larger corporate events, so conferences, awards, that kind of thing, which involved everything, which really involved the whole process. So not just kind of the delivery partner, we'd get involved in developing that content and that strategy side of things to know if, you know, it was the right thing to be doing, meet the objectives, and then kind of suggesting what stage, you know, it should be on, whether it's live, whether it's whatever it wanted to be, we're inside, outdoors, etc. So that kind of full service agency piece, but on that larger scale.
Okay. And how many, typically in a year, how many events would you be running?
Anything upwards of kind of 50 plus. Yeah. So in a different year.
Yeah. So talk us through then. So, you know, we go into lockdown in March in 2020. Leading up to that, were you already having events cancelling?
Actually, no. So we'd just come off of a job over in the US, which was the beginning of February. And weirdly, we were talking in that, it's only when I look back, but within that, the contents and the content of that event, we were talking about this thing called COVID and its importance and what it was. But there was an awareness, but, you know, being the event organizers from that side, we weren't necessarily kind of fully engaged with that side of it. And I don't think the client, anybody was in that side, but we kind of came back from that and then we're like, oh, that was nice. And it's only now looking back, it was like we were talking about something that could be a pandemic, not sure, but just carrying on in our daily lives. And then we came back from that and then the world kind of started to go a little bit crazy. But crazy in a weird way, because actually for us, when March hit, everything stopped. And I think it was that real, like, not knowing what was going on or what we were meant to do or what happened. And I think we're used to things changing and curveballs coming in and, you know, deadlines moving, events moving, things like that. But the fact that March happened and just everything just literally came to a standstill, and it was like, just tools down, don't do anything. And that was really weird. And for us, you know, for me, you know, in an agency, that, you know, the key point was like, everyone go home and be safe, look after yourselves.
Yeah.
Stop. And I'll be in touch. Like, I didn't, you know, didn't really know what to kind of do. And we're used to, you know, we're used to that fast paced kind of world. And, you know, we just didn't know. And we're planners as well. Not being able to do what we do and plan ahead was quite strange. But to be honest, at the beginning, you know, it's like, everyone go home, be safe. Let's see what this is. And to, if I'm really honest, at the beginning, I thought, you know, maybe this will be a little bit of a break and a bit of downtime, and we'll be okay for a couple of weeks. And maybe that's quite nice.
I don't think you're alone there. I don't think you're alone there. But, you know, it's interesting what you were saying about the, I mean, you know, I've limited experience of putting on events, but the one thing I know is that they are prone to curveballs, as you said. So as events professionals, you're absolutely used to problem solving in a different way than if you are, you know, producing TV ads or designing websites. There's something about events and the coming together of so many elements against a very, very particular timeline and a volume of people that you're used to being able just to fix things and to make things happen and to just keep the show on the road. So it must have been really challenging to be for it to be out of your control.
Yeah, it was. And I think, but I also don't think it felt like it was out of our control yet. Because you know, as good event professionals in that sense, we don't get flustered by the new or the change, because, you know, that's, like you say, that's what we kind of deal with day in, day out. And they're smaller things or they're larger things, but we're all equipped to do that. And as event planners, and we're not panickers, and we can't, because things change all the time. And, you know, you do with that. So I think it was like, okay, you know, this is happening. This doesn't sound great, but I just, you know, we didn't really know what it meant and really what the impact it was going to have on us as an industry. It felt like it was a bit of a break and a bit of a stopgap, and we would just have to shift things a little bit.
Okay. Once you'd kind of thought about the team and thinking, okay, well, this is just a little bit of a break. How did you start to approach those conversations with clients?
Yeah, well, I mean, it became apparent quite quickly that this wasn't going to be a little break, that impact that it was going to have on our industry and, you know, our people, our clients, everything. And we obviously, you know, when things started to cancel or postpone, we did the due diligence of, you know, all the to-dos that we have to do and the practicalities and cancelling and what that meant financially into budgets. But it was a bit of a sort of shifting to later and the what next. But then in terms of our clients, a lot of them were then saying, you know, actually, we're just going to cancel this event. We don't know what the future holds. We don't have a plan B, so it's not going to happen. It's like, okay. And then, but what we were doing as an agency is what we're used to is kind of that problem solving and go, okay, you want to do something, but how do we find a solution around this? And there wasn't a solution around this, so we weren't really offering any kind of a service in that way. So what we did, kind of what I've really found from this whole scenario, is how important and the strength of our relationships with our clients, because the conversations we were having were just checking in, you know, and we were just seeing how you're doing, not trying to provide a solution or an offering or anything along those ways. It was just really, how are you doing? You know, how's things going? How are you personally? You know, probably don't know anything in terms of the business. That's fine. But we're here when you need us. And if you just want to talk us through things, you know, that's fine. And that was probably the more softer tone of it. But what I gauged from it, I think, a lot more was that really our importance as an agency. And one of the positive things that's come out of it is we were being after the kind of initial kind of panic of it all, or, you know, not really understanding it all, when we saw this was kind of becoming the norm, we went back to kind of our true roots as an agency and being really consultative to our clients, yeah, and working through scenarios and working through, like, you know, this is what we want to do. We think we want to do something, but we don't know what we want to do. We don't know if it suits our people. We don't know if we can do it, you know, help really. And then in the past, I think, you know, clients are like, you know, a lot of briefs were still coming in and we were working to them. But I think there, a lot of things were trying to be done in-house, whether that's to save money or whether that's to, yeah, be more cost effective or just time or whatever, because, you know, you're the client, you know your business, you know what you want. There's plenty of teams around you that can help and support with that. And then briefs would come to us and it's like, this is what we want to do. And as much as we would try to help to understand the why and develop that a little bit more, often it was becoming more and more often that briefs were, we need you to deliver this way. And it was like, oh, okay, which is fine and it's great and, you know, can do, but it wasn't, that's not where really I think our added value is and I think our strength is. And I think that's what happened with the COVID conversations. You know, people didn't really understand what it meant to the event world and what it meant in terms of how they can communicate with their people, whether that's their own clients or brands. And we were there as the, you know, back to those agency roots and really saying, well, let's look at everything. Let us go away. Let us think of things. This is what we're thinking. This is because we know you. This is what we know works for you. This is what doesn't. And that relationship was so, so strong and so evident that if we didn't have that, I don't think we could have been useful to anybody, you know. And I think that was so strong. And I think that's really testament. I'm sure, you know, there's other agencies that also feel the same. But I think being able to pick up the phone to your client and just sort of say, hi, how's it going? You know, that's, there's so much value in that. And it's surprising how much, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've said this a few times on here before, and I genuinely think that, you know, over the course of the past year or so, it's really put agency relationships to the test. And I think depending on how agencies have approached it, it could either make or break those relationships. Either you kind of pull together and you problem solve together, or you don't. And I don't think there's any middle ground there. I think, yeah, you've either kind of just thrown in your lot and thought, right, okay, let's figure this out together and work out what we can do. But you can only do that when you've got a strength and a transparency and an honesty in that relationship to start with, I think.
Yeah. And I think there was always that understanding that was who we are and that's who they are and that's how we work. And for us as an agency, we always, you know, part of us and what we really believe in is we always say we're an extension of your team. But I think this allowed us to, and clients, just to, it to really resonate with them as well, to say, yeah, they really are, you know. And that's what made the huge difference.
And so how were you able to, so obviously you're problem solving with clients, helping them think more strategically about what they can do. What did you manage to deliver? How did you manage to keep the projects happening?
Different ways. So, I mean, obviously, like most of the world, lots of things went virtual. Yeah. But that was, you know, an interesting challenge in its own right. You know, everybody suddenly heard of things like Zoom, and everyone wanted to use it, but really trying to make everyone understand the complexities of a virtual and that not every platform does the same thing and things like that was a long process to come through, and also the costs involved. And we've always done virtual to a level, but it's always been like an add-on to an event. It's not been the sole reason that people do an event. And, you know, changing that mindset of how do we keep people engaged in a different environment? And as us as an agency, like, you know, a brief, it doesn't matter what the platform as such, whether it's live, whether it's in, you know, in person or whatever, or if it is virtual, the brief is the same. Like, we still look at it. We look at it as a campaign. We look at it as a full idea. And we don't go in going, yes, this must be on a stage with 50,000 people and that's exactly how it's going to work. That's the end game. But with this situation that we were in with COVID, a lot of people like, we need to speak to our people. How do we do this? We can only do it virtually. And actually, for a lot of our clients, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that level of kind of relationship, or it just didn't work in terms of the privacy of what they were talking about, and the, you know, their clients as well feeling comfortable in those offerings. So it was quite a shift. But yeah, I mean, lots of virtual, but then still other comms in terms of sending things and other communication that kind of way was a lot of what we were doing. And just trying to say, rather than delivering messages, where how whatever format that was, it was more about to say, we're still here, this is what we're doing, and, you know, we're thinking of you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was different.
So thinking back to, as you said, in those, you know, the early days back in kind of spring last year, we all thought it was just going to be a temporary thing. But as time went on, and then obviously we went into more restrictions at the end of last year. And now, you know, we're recording this in end of May 2021. We think that we're a month away from all restrictions being lifted, but, you know, who knows? How are you able to work with your clients now in terms of helping their planning when there's still so much uncertainty?
Yeah, it's all very much shorter term and looking in the, you know, in the now. What do you want to communicate now? How do we want to, you know, connect? And what do we want to do in the next week, 2 weeks, a month, maybe? Because, you know, like you say, the scenario in 3 months' time might be very different. I would love to say on all our previous projects, we used to have longer lead times, and I used to think those were short, but these are probably a lot shorter because we have to, because like everything, we can't, from a client perspective, we can't talk about, you know, plan something for 3 months' time because we just don't know if that messaging is going to be the same, if it's going to have any context. And so, but as an agency, like what we've been able to do, we're lucky because we can be, we're already pretty flexible and we're quite agile. So we can, although we've had to do quick and reactive to certain scenarios, it means that the team and the people, we can learn new skills, we can research new things quite quickly because we just get on and we can do it. And there's not a lot of hoops and red tape to kind of get through to enable that to happen. It's like, we have to be flexible, we have to be agile, and we always have been. We've just probably tested that a lot more over the past sort of year, for sure. And it's, from our clients' perspective, it's made them the same, but it's also actually made that content better to engage with because it's more relevant. It's definitely relevant now, and it's more honest and true. Yeah. I think that's a different side that people haven't always seen, not for everyone, but it's different. But it's definitely shorter term, and it's like, what can we do now? But don't worry about the how. That's our job. We'll worry about that bit.
To me, what you've described actually is a really strong case study in the power of relationships and leadership. I think the relationships with your team as well as your clients and being able to, you know, and having the strength of those client relationships and relationships with your team as kind of, you know, a real kind of core of the business. I'm wondering for you what you think you've learned over the last 18 months.
I think learnings and reminding myself as well, I guess. I think never assume anything because that always stops you from doing things. I think at the beginning, like, you know, me thinking I don't want to speak to X because, you know, I don't want to bother them. There's a lot going on, you know, personally, business-wise, etc. Oh, I shouldn't. And actually, but just by doing and kind of going, well, I'll just try. And then, you know, see how they are. And actually, people give you so much more time. And even from a new business perspective, actually, as well, it was interesting because picking up the phone or, well, dialing in to, you know, call with someone that you've never met before and kind of inviting them into your home and you into their home is quite a daunting thing. And to be asked to do that, but, and then to say, oh, hi, we're an events agency, then these are our services and this is what we offer, but we can't do a lot of that for you right now. Is it, you know, to assume that people don't want to have those conversations was totally wrong. And I think I had that fear at the beginning, but actually what I found was that, you know, people did want to talk and people took the time to have conversations and just, you know, learn more about us, what we do, or just, you know, just talk a bit more. And I think that was really key, and just remembering, like, don't stop yourself from doing things. And I think as well, like you mentioned about the team, and you know, resilience is such a skill, and I don't think I've ever really appreciated it. I keep looking back over this last, you know, period of time, and probably analysing every tiny little thing that everyone does and I do and everything a bit more than I've ever really done in the past. But, you know, the team being able to, and everyone just being able to kind of get on and kind of go, don't know quite how to do everything yet and don't quite know what the solution is, because we need to look at lots of different scenarios and environments and various other things. But we will know, you know, we will know the answer, because, and we'll come back to you because that's what we do. Yeah. And we will. And just being flexible and agile and going, yeah, all right, okay, give me a bit, I'll be back to you, I can do it. And that, being able to do that, I think is, it really is such a skill and so impressive. And but that, I do think that comes from being in a position where you're able to be that person, you know, you're given that, I guess, kind of empowerment to just get on.
Yeah, it's something I think giving the team permission is a really interesting thing. Yeah, that's quite powerful. Given that experience, I'm wondering what your top tips would be for agency leaders.
Top tips, following on from that, I guess it's absolutely value your people. And I think a lot of people say it, but I'm not sure everyone always believes it or shows it. And I think if you can't trust the people around you, whether it's internally or externally, suppliers, etc., whoever it is, like your wider team, if you can't trust them to get on and do what needs to be done, then you've got to question why you have them and what your environment is. And I think, you know, that value and that trust is so important. I don't believe in things like micromanaging. I think really that kind of empowerment and giving people the power, like you say, is just a real, it just gives you better results, and because people believe in something. And I think that's really true. And I think we're always learning and we're always sharing, but as agencies, I think we should come together more in a more honest environment. You know, we're all competitors and we're all working for different things and in some sense the same things, but the more we come together, the more we have conversations, the more we share our learnings and our challenges along the way. I think I've definitely gained so much from that, from over these whole sort of COVID periods. You know, it's always, you go to lots of, you know, networking events, you see the same faces and you know people, but I don't think we've ever been really honest about things. Everyone's always slightly guarded, I think, in terms of what they say, because you're just worried about people stealing business or anything like that. And not that that's always the intention at all. It's normally about the wine that's being served. But, you know, I think actually, you know, this time we've got various groups, you know, just coming together and just being really honest about the challenges we're having. It's not easy. It's horrendous. And it's been a horrible time for us, and it's an industry and we've been impacted so much. But what we've all got in common is we know our true value as an agency, and whatever we do, whatever we specialize in, we really do add that value. And I think if we come together a little bit more and talk a lot more, I think we'll just show everyone, the clients, how valuable we are as an industry.
I love that. I would really like to know which book you would recommend to our listeners.
Ah, well, I love this book and I've only read it recently, but it's called Be More Pirate by Sam Conniff.
Yes.
So I saw a short TED talk quite a while ago and thought, oh, that sounds really interesting. Anyway, got the book, read it, and it's amazing. Random title, but brilliant. I think, you know, the perception of piracy and people being selfish, kind of rule breakers and running kind of like a rebellion is not really the reality. I think the fact that he really highlights that it's people that are living in a broken system, you know, in a self-interested establishment and kind of with an uncertain future, and they just take control and actually they surround themselves with the people that share them, their same values, to create kind of like a really fair and equal system, you know, creating a system that you want to live in and be in and be a part of. Just so interesting. But initially I thought it was a book about pirates, but Turns out not.
Well, that's really useful because I've actually got that book, but it's on my pile to be read. So I might just, it might just get promoted to the top of the pile. Maybe that's one for the next couple of weeks. Brilliant. Okay, listeners, you know what to do if you join in the conversation on Twitter or LinkedIn, or hey, even Instagram, maybe using the hashtag SmallSparkTheory, and we will pick a winner and send a copy of Be More Pirate. Sarah, my last question for you, what's the best piece of advice that you've been given that you would like to pass on to our lovely listeners?
Do you know, it's everything is possible. And I know that sounds a bit grandeur and everyone says it, but it's, I don't mean it in the sense of not a sky's the limit, personal gain kind of approach to it, but more about very specific to the events world. I think we get so many random or tough asks that we don't really know the answers to. But knowing that and saying that everything is possible, I know there's always a way. It just takes the time to work it out, learn from the best and kind of, you know, do your research and know that if you know that everything is possible to do, you find a way to make it happen. And that's kind of steered me. I heard that very early on in my career and I still use it as much as today as I would then. Because you know you can do whatever you want to do, really.
Love it. Really, really good advice. Sarah, you've been such a good guest. I can't imagine how, we all know what a roller coaster it's been, but I can only imagine what it must have been like for all the agencies in your sector. And I, you know, as I said at the beginning, you know, it's been a tough old ride for everyone, but I think, you know, there have been certain pockets of our kind of agency world that have had more challenges than most. So, yeah, thanks so much for sharing your story. And I know it's just going to be really inspiring for so many of our listeners. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been great to be able to talk about what we've been going through together.
Well, here's hoping for an absolutely storming rest of the year and beyond. And yes, I look forward to meeting you in real person when restrictions allow and discussing it over a cup of tea.
Definitely.
Thanks so much. You have been listening to Small Spark Theory, brought to you by Gunpowder Consulting. Join in the conversation on Twitter at Gunpowder Tweets using the hashtag Small Spark Theory. This podcast is created and hosted by me, Lucy Mann, and edited and produced by Isabel Jarvis. Music is provided by Duke Deck, available at dukedeck.com. If you'd like to find out more about our online mentored new business courses, visit smallsparktheory.com, or for information about our consulting, visit gunpowderconsulting.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, head to iTunes and leave us a star.